Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday, and we've got a full two-hour edition of our Graybar Sports Open Line tonight here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Fantastic to be with you tonight, taking you until 8 o'clock. We've got a lot on the program. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We are going to be joined by SIUE men's basketball coach Brian Barone later on this hour. They've got a huge game coming up tomorrow in Edwardsville. Next hour is our weekly conversation with our guy Kevin Wheeler when we kind of do the Gas House Gang on the radio. Kevin and I don't have a scheduled day where we do the Gas House Gang together. I have a day where we do it, all four of us, with Bernie and Tom and Kevin. And then my other 2 days, on Wednesdays, I do it with Tom Ackerman. And on Fridays, with Bernie Miklas. So we don't have a Matt and Kevin day scheduled on the Gas House Gang. So we make up for that by talking baseball for 15, 20 minutes every Friday night here on KMOX. So that's what we do. As always, you are more than welcome to chime in on anything that we are talking about. Call, text, tweet, voice message. Those are the ways to connect with the program. If you call or text, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, or if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can go ahead and just leave a voicemail message, and our voice message. It's not voicemail. It's a voice message, and that gets into us as well. So that's all the ways to get connected with the program. Something that we are just watching on MLB Network right now, they are counting down the top 100 prospects in all of Major League Baseball. And so far, they've gone through the top 40. They're counting from 100 to 1, so they've gone through 60. They're up until about 40 right now, and the Cardinals have so far two players on the list. Tink Hintz comes in at number 77, and then Quinn Matthews comes in at number 45. So when that gets done for the day, we'll certainly tell you we would expect at least one more Cardinal to end up on there before all is said and done. It's been an interesting week because we had so much, information and narratives to talk through coming out of winter warm-up weekend last weekend, where obviously everybody said something and we just had a lot to go through. And then it's been just a quiet week when it comes to the Cardinals. And I do think that, look, we're not that far out from pitchers and catchers reporting. We're about 3 weeks away from that, which is crazy. It's crazy. We're almost there. I believe the pitchers and catchers report date is either the 11th or the 12th. I think it's the 11th. First workout is the 12th. I could be off a day on that, but it's coming up in just a few weeks. I'm heading down to Jupiter on that Monday, the 10th, the day after the Super Bowl. So here we are. It's conference championship weekend in the NFL, and essentially, the moment the Super Bowl is over, that's when baseball starts up with spring training camps getting underway. We are just about there. And I don't think this roster is complete. I don't think this roster looks the way it's going to look on that pitchers and catchers report day. I've come back around, and I'm jumping back and forth. I'm not the type of guy that talks out of both sides of my mouth. Generally, I take a stance and I kind of go with it. I think the Cardinals are going to trade Nolan Arenado. I don't think that they go to camp with him on the roster. Could I be wrong on that? Yeah. And last week, if you would have asked me that, I would have said maybe it's 50-50, maybe even less than 50-50. The more I think about it, and that's the problem, I'm thinking about it too much. I need to stop thinking. It's the first thing you do. Stop thinking. But the more I think about it, why would John Mozeliak go and say at winter warmup that, you know, plans 1, 2, and 3, or however, yeah, I'm paraphrasing, whatever, however he said it. Why would he say is to move Arenado? Why would he say that if he didn't continue to have a pretty good feeling that they're going to get a deal done? So I think there's a possibility. I don't know, maybe this is a conspiracy theory more than anything else at this point. I think what's holding it up is the Bregman thing. We'll see where he goes. I'm hearing more stuff on this Bregman thing. Reportedly, the Cubs are starting to get on and on, and that'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. I don't think the Cubs are an especially impressive team right now at 6:13 p.m. on Friday, January 24th of 2025. They might be the best team in the NL Central right now, but that doesn't mean they're an impressive team. If they add Alex Bregman, that changes. All of a sudden, with that on paper, they become the best team in the NL Central if they make that move. They're also in on Presley. So if they have Presley and Bregman, well, to me, at that point, they become the overwhelming favorite in the NL Central. Right now, they just might be the favorite in the Central. But if you add a Bregman and also a Presley, if they just add Presley, like, that's a nice addition, but it's not a game-changing, great, okay, this is really going to change the fortunes of the team type addition. And look, I'm in St. Louis. I'm not in Chicago. So I don't have this everyday reactions to what's going on. But my belief had always been that the Cubs had another one or two fairly large splashes left in them before this offseason came to an end. But then Ricketts opens up his mouth at Cubs convention and is sitting here saying, "Oh, we're just trying not to lose money. That's all we're trying to do here in Chicago. We're just trying not to lose money." Meanwhile, you've got some of the highest revenues in all of Major League Baseball, and you spend a lower percentage of that than almost all baseball teams out there. But don't let facts get in the way of a good story. So when Ricketts is going out there going, "Oh, we're just trying not to lose money," at that point, I'm okay, maybe they're done. Maybe they did the Tucker thing and they're done. And then we hear about Bregman. I don't know. It's the Bregman deal just needs to get done. I'm so sick of talking about this. I am so sick of talking about the Arenado thing. And I know I brought it up. It's my show. Nobody's, you know, twisting my arm on what I have to talk about. But I'm ready for the Bregman thing to be done with, because once that's done with, then whatever market there is for Nolan Arenado is going to present itself. Because right now the market can't present itself, because I'm sure half the teams or all the teams that are interested in him are also still holding out hope that maybe Bregman can be with them this year. So that's where we're at. Not a whole lot has changed, really, as we've moved forward. Bernie Miklas is going to join us coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We're about to talk with Bernie Miklas. Our conversation brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Of course, you can check out Bernie's YouTube channel at The Bernie Show, where he does 1 to 2 videos a day going deep on various topics, and he's part of the Gas House Gang. It was him and I today. You're getting a lot of Bernie today, which is great, very, very good, because you heard him with the DGS earlier. We did Gas House Gang today, and then that's going to re-air coming up later on, but he does join us here on Sports Open Line. Bernie, always great to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Yeah, well, always great to work with you. And gosh, I hope that the audience isn't suffering from some Bernie fatigue.
No such thing.
I thought I'd be doing like nice little part-time thing, and I'm on the air gabbing all the time, but I say that with a smile on my face. I love it. I love working with y'all. I really do.
Yeah, well, we love having you around. I'll be honest, I've not watched the video that you posted about 5 hours ago. Your videos are generally part of my late evening or early morning routine, but I saw the headline, Arenado Buzz. So what's without giving it all away, what was your Arenado takeaway today?
I'm happy to give the most of it away. And by the way, I want to preface this, as I kind of did in the video, by saying this isn't any kind of breaking news, and I'm not like, oh, I have a scoop. It's nothing like that. But the situation has been so quiet and just seems like nothing is moving. There's at least some buzz swirling. At least it was at the time that I recorded the video. And the buzz is this. Alex Bregman unless something's changed in the last few hours, seriously. So if it has, we have nothing to talk about. But Alex Bregman, according to multiple reports, including from Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros for The Athletic, and he's very good. Alex Bregman and the Astros have sort of reopened the door to him coming back there. And, you know, Scott Boras is still going to try to squeeze what he can out of Boston and Detroit, the other teams in the contest here. But Jose Altuve has been, and other players have been, pleading with Jim Crane, the Astros owner. Said, this guy is a huge part of our team, our culture. He's a leader. He sets the tone. He's we need him. You know, we need him. Please, please get him. Bring him back. So according to Chandler Rome, The Athletic, the Bregman deal that Jim Crane offered, quite a while back in the offseason, it was 5 years or 6 years, $156 million, I think, or $153 million, I think. That's still on the table, which surprises me because I thought, no, they pivoted and that's it. So obviously, if there's a shot that Bregman will indeed return to Houston, well, I think, needless to say, that makes it a lot more likely that Arenado would be traded to the Boston Red Sox. They miss out on Bregman. They have urgency to clean up their defense on the infield because they have a ground ball pitching staff. They think Arenado can help them there, obviously. They also think the ballpark will help them. He'll be rejuvenated. And they really need a right-handed bat. So I'm just saying it's swirling a little bit. It hasn't been swirling for a while, which is why I wanted to do a video on it. So if Boston's got urgency to get a deal done, if it comes to that, if Bregman goes back to Houston, I guess my question to you is, will John Mozeliak and the Cardinals find a way to get it done? I mean, will this be something that they'll just say, okay, this is as close as we will ever have it? Let's get this thing done, even if maybe some of the stuff involved in it, like eating a lot of money, wasn't something they wanted to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing because if he ends up with Houston, then the Boston thing should be able to happen. Here's my side of it, though. If let's say he goes to Boston and Jose Altuve has already openly talked about going to left field, which would then push Paredes to second, and that would allow third base to open up. Now that the Astros have Walker, would Arenado feel differently about Houston that they could re-engage with the Astros as well? So if he goes to the Astros, does Boston become a thing? If he goes to the Red Sox, do the Astros reopen? That's what we're doing right now, Bernie. This is where we're at, that we're trying to go through all these different scenarios. And I do think he's going to get moved before the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. I mean, from what I understand, my friends in the media in Houston, and a couple of them are really, really wired in. Jim Crane was furious when Arenado vetoed the trade. He was furious. That's why they pivoted immediately. When Arenado's camp started to, in effect, spread the message that, well, it's just too soon. It's not that you don't want to go to Houston. We just don't want to rush into anything. And that just set Jim Crane off, and he's kind of a tempestuous guy. And so impulsively, he's like, baloney to that. Let's go get Christian Walker. I'm not wasting any more time with this guy. So I guess I'd be surprised if they approached Arenado again. Listen, who knows, right? Yeah. And I would think maybe he'd be more open to the idea of going to Houston. So we'll have to – Bregman still is – going to, in effect, control the flow of this and control what happens to Nolan Arenado more than any other factor.
My new talking point on this is, Mo said at the winter meetings, we intend to trade Arenado. We later found out, he told us here at KMOX, I thought I had a deal done when I said that. I may not have said that if I knew then what I know now. But then we fast forward to the winter meet or to the winter warm-up, and he goes on the stage and he says, right now, goal number 1, 2, and 3 is to trade Arenado. So he went from saying that maybe he wouldn't have said what he said at the winter meetings if he knew now, but then he kind of doubles down on that at winter warmup. And all I can think is there's a really good possibility, Bernie, that he's very confident that once the Bregman thing works itself out, that there's going to be an opportunity to trade Arenado.
Well, I would hope so. And one thing that I got into the video is also, if Arenado comes back, he comes back, right? I I don't know that I've been unfair to him. I wouldn't. I hope I wasn't. But you know, it's easy to kind of express some exasperation because of the fact he vetoed the deal, and you know that would have been his ticket out of town, and now the Cardinals might have to welcome him back, and it'll be awkward, and they can't play Gorman at third, which means the infield's more crowded because Gorman's back at second, and Sejacy might get boxed out. And, you know, Donovan might have to move to the outfield. I mean, there's just – it's got so many ramifications. But the one thing I've picked up on, and I'm not knocking anybody at all. You know, I don't want to be accused of, like, you know, like bashing fans or whatever. Not at all. I'm talking about my own feelings on this. You know, Arenado hasn't done anything wrong. You know, the Cardinals went to him. If they went to Contreras, they went to Gray. They said, listen, you have no trade clauses, but here's what we're going to do. You know, should we look for a deal? Do you want to stay? Would you prefer to leave? We respect you guys. Well, those two said they wanted to stay. That doesn't mean that Arenado was obligated to say, oh, no, 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 I want to stay. The Cardinals called him. He didn't call them. And he was like, well, the way Mozeliak and the agent and Mozeliak all talk about it, the agent talks about this too. It isn't that Arenado wants to get out of here. It's just like, you know, the clock's running on his career. And if he has a chance to land with a contender, he should at least consider it. And that's right. That's rightfully so. Now, maybe it didn't work out the way he wanted to, as fast as he wanted to. But I don't want to demonize Nolan Arenado. He really has done nothing wrong in any of this. If anything has gone wrong, maybe it's because we can say he shouldn't have vetoed the Astros trade. But that's not to rip him. That's just retrospect. That's hindsight. If he doesn't move, I think he'll come back and he'll be a pro. And I think if anything, it might bring out a better part of him. Will he realize, hey, we got young guys. I'm on board. I want to be more proactive about helping those guys. So anyway, I didn't mean to drag on about that, but I wanted to kind of air that part of it. It's just kind of like I'm making sure that I'm trying to be really fair to Nolan Arenado.
Last thing for you, kind of outside the box. Are you all surprised? Last year was not a great offseason for Scott Boras, and the same thing that's happening this offseason with a lot of guys that were signed at the very last minute and maybe didn't get the deals that they wanted, and Boras even lost some clients as a result of it. And it felt like the Boras clients were maybe going to have a different offseason this year where there's going to be more pressure on him to get deals done early. And here we are with Bregman and Alonso. We're 2 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, and these guys don't have deals done. Are you surprised at all that it's somewhat of a repeat of last year?
Yeah, to an extent I am because, you know, Boras is Boras, and he's not a guy that, you know, he's supremely confident. He's very aggressive and controlling, and he's going to make deals on his terms. And his clients almost always trust him. They may a couple times it's gone wrong, as you pointed out. But just because he has one bad experience where, you know, he didn't get what he wanted for his clients last winter, and, you know, Jordan Montgomery, for one, dropped him and, you know, said some nasty things about it. Boras is not the type of guy that's going to kind of go and retreat and say, well, I'll be a nicer guy next time around. No, he's still going to push to get the best for his clients. Bregman's a really smart guy. I don't know about Alonso and whether he still has, you know, supreme confidence in Boras, but they obviously still trust him, or they would have agreed to settle for something else along the way. So, but yeah, it could be a situation where this drags on longer. And it's going to be more stories longer than anybody expected. And there'll be more stories written by Ken Rosenthal and everybody else about, like, well, you know, Boras has had some strikeouts. What's up with that? You know, so it's something that's pretty interesting. It's like a sidebar to all this.
You can always tell which insiders have which relationships with which agents based off the narratives that come out from various reporters.
Well, if you want to know what's going on with, I tell you what, you know, everybody knows this, and I'm not taking a shot because everybody knows this. If you want to know what's going on, or you want to be the first to know what's going on with Bregman and any team, you just follow John Heyman on
sure.
X.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, just do it, because he always gets the word first when it has anything to do with a Boras client.
100%. And by the way, you're right. It's like they're doing their job. Their job is to create relationships with people that can give them inside sure. information. Just kind right. of the negative side of that is sometimes it's a very transactional relationship. So there's going to be times where you probably have to go do something for the agent too.
That's right. You know, I've known John forever, and I consider him a friend, and have always enjoyed the way he goes about his work. But that's the fun part. It's like, I don't think anyone even tries to conceal the fact that Boris feeds him stuff, right?
Yeah.
And Heyman's got a heck of a lot of scoops, a lot of number of scoops because of that relationship. So it's worked for him.
100%. Bernie Miklas is brought to us by Saliga Heating and Cooling. More on that in a moment, but do want to remind you again, subscribe to his YouTube channel at The Bernie Show. While you're doing that, subscribe to KMOX Sports so you can get the Gas House Gang every day. But Bernie, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling.
I would love to do it. You know, we've been a Saliga family for 16 years. This proud independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer has been taking care of St. Louis family since 1927. I mean, that speaks for itself right there. They're coming up on 100 years, and they're still going strong. They're still thriving. They're still growing. They're still adding families after taking care of generations of St. Louis families. They have an impeccable reputation for their professionalism, their knowledge, their classiness, and their honesty. I can tell you in 16 years, and a lot of those years were had nothing to do with me talking about them on the radio. This is me as a customer. There were times where we weren't sure what we were in for with a repair job, and we weren't sure if we're going to have a big bill or have to buy a big piece of equipment. Saliga always did everything they could, and they will always do everything they can to save you money by finding it by a less expensive solution. They're honorable. I mean, the integrity is a big thing in the heating and air conditioning business. So you can trust them. Take it from me. You can trust them. Financing options are available, subject to credit approval. Take a look around on their site at the Priority Club, which is a maintenance plan. It works great. And of course, they have American Standard equipment. So you can call 314-481-7333, but that phone number and all the other information of their services is available for you at Saliga Heating and Cooling. com. Have a great weekend, everyone.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. If you have not been paying attention, one of the really good basketball stories in our area here, especially recently, has been what the SIUE men's basketball team is doing. Since the calendar turned to 2025, they have won 6 of their last 7, and they've got a huge game against OVC first place Morehead State at home at First Community Arena coming up tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. To talk a little bit about his program, we're very happy to welcome onto the show. He is the head coach of the SIUE Women's basketball team. He's Coach Brian Baroni. Coach, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I appreciate it. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So yesterday you guys pick up a nice win at home against Southern Indiana, 82-76. As I mentioned a moment ago, won 6 of 7 so far in 2025. What's really clicked in for your team here over the last few weeks?
I think, well, you know, one of the things that our guys have done a good job of is they've really they battled through some adversity and continued to pour into ourselves. You know, we've had a lot of injuries and a bunch of different lineups. And I think one of the things that they figured out was we didn't like how we went into the Christmas break 0-2 in conference, came back and responded the right way because we poured into ourselves. And we've had a lot of changes, you know, like in terms of roster. And I think we just kind of bought into the fact that, all right, whatever's going to be thrown at us, we have what it takes as long as we completely buy into each other.
Can you speak to the weight lifting off your shoulders when maybe non-conference doesn't go completely the way you would like it to go, but then once you get into conference play, how it really feels like it's a brand new season?
Yeah, you know, it's just it's funny because what you try to do is you try to you know, foresee what's going to happen in conference based on your non-conference schedule. So we do a bunch of different things in the scheduling where you might play a Thursday Saturday game or we played Indiana and then a day off and then Illinois. Now, obviously those are, you know, some two, you know, blue blood programs, but that simulates what we were going to face in conference. We also had a stretch where we played on a Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday. And we, you know, simulated that when we played Indiana State, Canisius, and Western Michigan in a, you know, five-day stretch. So what we've tried to do is try to, you know, put out the blueprint that we're going to see in conference. And we had a good non-conference. I think we might have been 7-4 or something like that. And I think it's really paid off in terms of there's been a lot of things that we've been able to reference that we've already been through. And then we have some good players and veterans that have been with me for a while, too. So that's been huge with our leadership.
You mentioned those good players, and it starts with Rayshon Taylor. He's the league-leading scorer. He's almost at 19 points per game. He scored 20 or more, I believe, in his last four games. But this guy is somebody that maybe here in St. Louis we should be talking about more as one of the really good college basketball players in the area, because these numbers he's putting up are pretty darn impressive.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he's one of their own. And, you know, this Metro East community, the community needs to see it and kind of appreciate it, just in terms, and a lot of people here do appreciate it, just, but it's always nice to support someone who's been here, who grew up here, who had an unbelievable career at Collinsville, graduates in 4 years the right way, is, you know, almost done with his master's, been here 5 years, you know, in a day and age where it's very rare at the caliber player that he is. And, you know, I think when you have an opportunity to support somebody that isn't just good at basketball, but a lot of the qualities as a person that, you know, you want your community to be known for, that's something to cherish, especially this day and age in college sports.
How do programs like yours get players like Rayshon Taylor, who are really good but are willing to stick around and not look around in the transfer portal and the NIL market and all those things?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, when originally getting a guy like Ray, you know, it was a little before this time. But I do think that you identify people that are going to fit your culture and whatever your culture is. And, you know, I got the job on a interim basis. You know, I was going to be a year, 2 year coach, and, had to, you know, I was fortunate to be able to be evaluated and, you know, given a little bit more time, and you pour into, the people that are like you, the people that are about what you're about. And I think that allowed me to have time with a guy like Ray, like Des Polk, with Shamar Lamar Wright, previously, who'd been here for 5 years. And I think when you have time with somebody and they appreciate the culture that we collectively build together, then that investment into their themselves, their family, the things that are not necessarily just financial, become of higher value. And then you get the right kind of person that puts value on things that go beyond stuff. And I think that's one of the things that we've really tried to do a good job of here. And you also address the elephant in the room. You have those conversations, and it's been fortunate for us because we've been growing over these last several years. We've had some success, but it's not just because of myself and the staff. It's because of the players that we've been able to surround ourselves with.
SIU Women's Basketball Coach Brian Baroni continuing to join us. As mentioned, tomorrow, 3:30 in the afternoon at home, you've got a huge game coming up against the first-place team in the league, Morehead State. They're 8-1 in conference. You're tied for second in wins, tied for third overall in the league at 6-3. I'm sure you would love to have a huge crowd for a huge game tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing to have that place filled. You know, this place is gotten better. I think we're 20-3 over the last, you know, couple years at home. We've created an atmosphere, and we've put a product out there that I'd like to think that our community supports and in the right kind of way as well. And, you know, you're talking about halfway through the conference season. This is our 10th game. It's a 20-game season. And if you can put yourself in position on the, you know, to go into the turn and ultimately what would be, I guess, you know, second place, you know, in the first 10 games, that's something that hasn't been done here before. And it hasn't been done here before, but it could be done, and we could do it together. So it would be, you know, we want everyone to come out. You know, we want them to stand up. We want them to learn how to cheer for the guys that have been here several years. And be loud and you know, just enjoy a college basketball game in the right kind of atmosphere that we've put on here with our administration and our guys on the court. We're excited to have this opportunity tomorrow.
Not only is Morehead State having won 5 in a row, they've won 10 of their last 11. They've got some pretty impressive wins on their resume so far. How much of a challenge is this game going to be tomorrow?
Oh, it's going to be tough. I mean, we've always had games against Morehead State over these last 5 years that have been very, you know, kind of, you know, back and forth. You know, we got them last year at our place. They got us at their place last year. It's always been a kind of a tough game. We've had a lot of the same guys. And that's one of the things too. Like, we have a lot of the same guys, so there's kind of a traditional rivalry or matchup that these guys know each other. Morehead has done a good job historically with some of their retention. When and their new coach right now was an assistant there several years ago. Great person. So I think one of the things about tomorrow is we know each other. We know what you know, because we've seen each other before, and it's going to be a tough one. 10 out of 11, they're 8-1 in conference. They're a tough team, and it's why we play. It'll be a good time.
If you've never checked out an SIUE basketball game, you might as well try it out tomorrow. First Community Arena, it's going to be a 3:30 tip-off against first-place Morehead State. Coach, thanks so much for taking some time. Best of luck to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
I really appreciate it. It means the world that you took the time for me and to talk about our program. I'm really proud of it and honored to be their coach.
That's Brian Barone. He is the head coach of the SIUE men's basketball team. Again, they're on a really good run right now, having won most of their games, all but one of their games since the calendar turned over to 2025. And that's a big one tomorrow. We'll see. He talked about the importance of winning on your home floor. You've got the first place team in Edwardsville tomorrow afternoon. And I know they're really hoping for a good crowd at First Community Arena. Really great. You could turn tomorrow into quite the day from a college basketball standpoint, if you are looking to do just that, because the Billikens, they're on the road, but they play at 1 o'clock, so you can sit and you can listen to the Billikens here on KMOX. That game's going to wrap up, and then you just head right in and you watch SIUE, and it all works out perfectly for you to have yourself a little bit of a college basketball doubleheader coming up tomorrow. We'll take a break and come back, wrap up hour number one of the show. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
All right, let me apologize before I even start this segment, because we're going to go somewhere where we're talking about a great St. Louisan, and you know he's going to get dragged through the mud on this one, and I'm not trying to just destroy the guy. I'm really not, but this just came across my Twitter feed. And I'm kind of blown away. The Chicago White Sox are going to erect a statue of Mark Burley, and it is going to go up on July 11th. Bob Nightingale tweeting that out. I assume the White Sox have announced it. Look, I like Mark Burley a lot. The no-hitter he threw is, to me, I don't know if there is a more memorable no-hitter than his, that catch that was made. What was the outfielder's name who made the catch?
Jermaine Dye.
It wasn't Jermaine Dye.
It was Jermaine Dye, wasn't it?
No. Hold on.
Am I getting my White Sox outfielders confused?
Yeah, catch Mark Burley, no-hitter. Hold on, who was it? I can't think of the guy's name. Anyways,
Oh, it was Dwayne Wise.
Dwayne Wise. There we go. Thank you. I remember at that point in time, I was the broadcaster for the Burlington Bees, which was a single-A team in the Midwest League. It was the Royals affiliate at the time. And both Burley and Wise had played for the Bees previously in their careers. And I remember vividly, like, sitting in the conference room at our dinky little ballpark in Burlington, Iowa, watching that play out. Like, I've always really appreciated Mark Burley. That's why I feel bad talking about this, because I really, really like Mark Burley. We were discussing him earlier, yesterday, the day before, because of the numbers that he was able to get in terms of a Hall of Fame voting. He's not a Hall of Famer. But he had a nice career. But you're not supposed to build statues for guys who have nice careers like that. There's nothing that can more epitomize who the Chicago White Sox are that they are erecting a statue of a Mark Burley. And I hate those words coming out of my mouth because it sounds like I'm going off on the guy. That's not what I'm doing. But Mark Burley, Kyle Sixta, getting a statue.
Yeah,
like, it's good for him.
It is. It's pretty crazy, though. Normally, you see the top-tier players getting statues. And, I mean, he was really good through 200 innings, like we were talking about, every year. But he never had an – I'm looking at his stats right now. He never had an ERA under 3. Like, I mean, he was just consistently good, I guess.
He got Cy Young votes, what, 1 year?
1 year. He finished 5th.
Yeah, 1 year he got Cy Young votes. I feel like I'm on the other side of an arbitration hearing where I'm a team trying to tell a guy how bad he is. Like, he wasn't bad. I saw that. I went, a statue? Unless, is it a statue commemorating the no-hitter? Like, that would be one thing.
Yeah, that would make sense. The one for the perfect game.
Right. Like, that would be something. Like, this, we are going to build a statue. But if you're going to do that, you got to have Wise in there. Like, it can't just be Mark Burley. So, I don't know. I just saw that, and I was a little bit surprised. I was on Nightingale's Twitter account because I wanted to get the latest on this thing going on. It looks like, it's not official yet, it looks like the Cubs are going to get Ryan Pressly from the Astros. And there are some implications that go along with that. First off, they got to figure out if you're getting traded from a team that's in Texas to a team that's in Illinois, you go from having no state taxes to having lots of state taxes. So Pressly is essentially taking a pay cut by doing that. Now there's some conflicting reports in there saying that the Tigers are trying to come in at the very last second before a deal gets done with the Cubs. I'd be fine with that. He would look great as a Detroit Tiger.
He really would.
He would, man. You know what? That Ryan Pressly, he would, I think he would look really, really good as a Detroit Tiger. So he's got a no-trade clause. He shouldn't waive the no-trade for the Cubs. He doesn't want to go there. He wants to go to Detroit, possibly. But yeah, there's just a few things that are out there. Bruce Levine, who covers the Cubs, does a great job doing it for 670 The Score. He had tweeted out, Cubs getting close on obtaining Astros Ryan Pressly. Technical issues on contract and family accessibility, all resolvable issues. What is family accessibility? Like, you have to fly my family to Chicago whenever I ask, or family has to have access. I don't even know what that means, but that's what they said. So there's things that are happening. There's been some talk that the Astros are more willing to maybe push the Alex Bregman contract a little bit if they move on from Pressly, because they would have a few more dollars available if that happens. I don't know how true that is or not, but they're just things are happening right now. Things seem to be happening. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We are going to break for our 7 o'clock news, and then we'll be back. Next hour includes a conversation with Kevin Wheeler, and I'm upset about something involving high school basketball in the area. I'll explain that as well coming up on KMOX.